In 1990, two men dressed as police officers walked into the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston, overwhelmed two security guards, and walked out with 13 valuable pieces of art, including masterpieces by Rembrandt and Vermeer. For 25 years, the FBI, the Boston Police, and many journalists have interviewed suspects and investigated tips in hopes of solving the case. The museum has offered a $5 million reward for the return of all the stolen pieces, but the artworks are still missing, and no one has ever been arrested in the case. The heist remains the largest art theft in U.S. history. The works stolen are valued at $500 million. Steve Kirkchin has been investigating the Gardner Museum theft for 18 years. He started work on the case as a journalist for the Boston Globe, and he's just published a book called Master Thieves. The book takes a look at the people potentially connected with the heist and the FBI's theory of what happened. Kirkchin says the FBI believes a criminal network that runs from Boston to Maine and even to Hartford is responsible for the theft. Mr. Kirkchin is on the line with us this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
The cast of characters you have listed at the beginning of your book in this whodunit story includes on the criminal side some well-known gang leaders all the way down to low-level hoodlums. And it's a pretty complicated network involving more than just one crime family.
It is, and I think that's at the center of this perplexing mystery, that there was two gangs here in Boston area that knew of the vulnerability of the museum back as far as the late 70s and early 80s. These two gangs went at each other in a war in the mid-80s that lasted into the early 90s because the control of the Boston underworld had become open with the death of Raymond Patriarca, who was the gangland uber boss of all of New England. So that opened it up to two gangs, one overseen by a gang leader named Frank Salemi, and the other overseen by a newer, younger, much more aggressive men that sprung out of the north end of Boston. The FBI looks towards one gang, the Salemi gang, and I've figured out who within that gang had the knowledge of the vulnerability of the Gardner Museum. And at the end of my research, working hard, was able to make inroads to the second gang, and there I think I got the eureka moment in which I found out who within that gang knew of the vulnerability and why they had the motive to break in.
Now, the number of potential direct participants in the heist and the transfer of the stolen art is pretty large, according to the speculation and the finger-pointing that you reveal in your book. But you do say that finding the motive for the robbery really narrows down that field. Now, isn't that something that investigators would figure out fairly soon in the investigation?
You would think, but I think it was because specifically the FBI got so overwhelmed with tips and information that came for the most part, if not solely, from fraudsters and con men seeking to get money out of the museum for information that they said they had, that they had to chase down every one of these leads, and every one turned out to be not. I was told by the FBI lead agent on the case in 2010 that they had yet to have a confirmed proof-of-life sighting of any of the 13 pieces. And what that means is they had never got a photograph of any of the pieces or a forensic piece of evidence of any of the pieces after they were stolen on March 18, 1990. So that told me that the FBI was really working hard, very diligently, but they never got a center that they could feel that they were right on it. So frustrating, but I think it was at the core as to why this case has never been solved.
And you think the evidence, when you consider motive, points to a relatively low-level Boston mobster named Robert Donati, who was behind the theft?
Right. Donati had migrated into this second gang, this more aggressive gang, and he became very close to one of the leaders of that gang, a gentleman named Vincent Ferrara. And Ferrara, very late in 1989, 3 or 4 months before the actual theft, was arrested for racketeering. While he was incarcerated, waiting indictment and then trial in Boston, he was incarcerated in Hartford. And he was visited there by Donati, and Donati says, "We have a way of getting you out. We're going to steal some artwork, and the feds are so worried about the loss of precious art that they will let you out." And Ferrara said to him, no, don't do anything like that. No one's going to ever let me out of jail on this racketeering charge. I'm going to have to go to trial, which he did, and he served until 2005 on that racketeering charge.
There's some reason to believe that some of the art, possibly all of it, was hidden for a time in Manchester, Connecticut. And you talked with the suspect in the case who could have been connected with that.
Bobby Gentile is the aging mob associate, was arrested by the feds in 2012 on a series of charges, including the most significant, I think, was selling Percocets to an undercover informant. He served 3 years in jail for that crime. FBI believed he, because of the testimony of the widow of his best friend, this man up in Maine, and the widow said that before her husband passed away in 2004, he had given two or three of the paintings to Bobby Gentile, and Bobby Gentile had hid them in his home somewhere. And they figured out somewhere in the home was the shed in the backyard of his home in Manchester, Connecticut. When they first approached Bobby Gentile in 2010, he agreed to cooperate with them. That cooperation ended at some point in 2012. He sat down with me in January and February of 2015, and he continued to deny ever having hands on the paintings, denying that his friend up in Maine, Bobby Guarenti, had ever given him any of the paintings. In March of 2014, the Fed sent in another undercover informant, another old pal of Bobby Gentile, and Bobby sat him down, and they talked about some crime that the old pal wanted Bobby to get involved in. Bobby fell into the trap, and he said, listen, if you let me into this this scheme that you've got planned, I'll sell you two of the paintings for $500,000. It just proved how interesting a person Gentile is to the feds. They didn't arrest Bobby in 2014. They waited a year, sent the same guy in, and Bobby sold him a gun, and they arrested him minutes later, and Bobby Gentile is in jail. And as he said to the judge in New Haven, I'm a con artist. I'm a fraudster. Like, this whole case is filled with people who try to con others to give them money because they want to make this myth out there that I can get access to the paintings. And Bobby has become the ultimate victim of this myth-making, but it's out of his own mouth. In my heart of hearts, I don't think Bobby can get us back the paintings.
Steve Kirkchin is the author of Master Thieves, a book about the unsolved 1990 theft at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston.